Wow, this has been a heated break. I really appreciate Joni's call and her perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I appreciate debate. I appreciate perspectives. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this clearly. We got Stryker. We're going to have you let you say the last word, Stryker. Okay. Kevin, you have kind of taken the position of the friends you've talked to. This is what they said. They said that basically, go ahead, state their position again about my position about the Declaration of Independence, how what's wrong with this and about the Bible. Say it again
simply. The Bible
simply.
Is the Word of God, and it's a pathway to heaven.
Okay.
And the Bill of Rights is not.
Okay.
They get solace in their reading the Bible. They do not get solace in the Bill of Rights. They say it's right underneath, and it protects them, their right to have the Bible, but a Bible's number one, and number two.
All right, let me start. I guarantee they haven't read it, don't know it well, right?
I haven't asked them if they did. Probably so. They don't know
it well. I'm sure they don't know it well. I'm sure they don't know it well, to start with. Yeah. With the Spirit of God, there is liberty.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree. And they agree about that.
Okay. So what document ensures liberty more than any other document in this world? The governmental document.
Yeah, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Right, period.
Period.
Declaration of Independence.
There's nothing even close.
Nothing even close.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is the document that ensures the Spirit of God, protects the Spirit of God on this land, and ensures it.
Yes.
Without question.
Without question.
More than any other document in this world. Governmental
not
document.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close.
Okay, and then to say, well, it's right below it and it protects it. Okay. They have obviously never lived in China. I haven't either, but you know, they have not seen what happened. You know, Ray McGovern, maybe we should ask Ray this question. Yeah. We got Ray McGovern coming.
Oh, get him on.
Yeah. You're in China, and it's illegal to have Bible study.
Right.
So you want to have five of your friends over and have Bible study.
Can't do it.
They will kick your door in,
mm-hmm.
depending on what kind of mood they're in. They'll take your house, take your possession. They'll take you to a camp, and your Bible, you'll never see it again. And the rest of your days are going to be in this camp until you come out and you
re-educated.
And re-educated or dead.
Right.
Okay. That's what separates us from China.
Yeah, the Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights.
They're trying to take the Bill of Rights away in this country. Pretty soon the Bill of Rights.
I'm trying to tell everybody.
Well, they're all about the Bill of Rights. They're all about the Bill of Rights. But the way they see everything going, they're trying to get rid of it.
I'm talking about your friends who are saying this perspective about the Bible. Their stance is, if it comes to that with the Bible, I will put my Bible in a Ziploc bag and I'll bury it in the backyard.
Yes.
That's asinine. It's asinine.
Not to them.
It is asinine for them to think that the government is to the point where you're not even allowed to have a Bible. And then you are going to make a stand?
They're not making a stand. They're saving their Bible.
That's a stand.
That is not a stand. That is saving.
That is a stand against their, government dictate.
They want their Bible.
But they're taking a stand against a government quote-unquote law. If that was the law, you can't have a Bible. Their stand is, I'm going to bury it in the backyard.
But it's not a public stand. It's a private stand.
But it's still a stand.
Okay.
Well, so is homeschooling. So is whatever, 100 different things. It's not even against the law to homeschool.
Oh, I know. We should.
For them to say, I promise you, for them to say that is ridiculous.
Not to them.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, not to
them. It's ridiculous. It's asinine.
They want their Bible.
They're going to let America and everything that they hold dear be destroyed before they take a stand. That is un-American. For them to sit there and say, well, that's what God wants, that is BS, that is un-American, it is the reason we're in the situation we're in, because Christians have acquiesced.
I agree there.
Christians have acquiesced, and they're waiting till to hide their Bible in a Ziploc bag and bury it in the ground. You have just hit on the problem with this country.
Oh, yeah.
And we got this country because Christians were willing to give their life and fight for this.
I agree. Yeah,
nobody's even talking about giving their life or picking up a gun. We're talking about basic, simple things about their Bible. But they'll let a 5-year-old be told that they're not a boy.
I'm with you there. That's terrible.
But yet, that's okay. They're okay with that. They won't take a stand about that. But yet, when their door's kicked in, well, then I'll put my Bible in a Ziploc bag.
That's not making a stand, though. That is.
How is that not making a stand?
Because you're not standing up to anybody. You're putting
it's breaking the law.
It might be breaking the law. It's breaking the law, but it's not standing up to anybody.
Let's move on. It's asinine. This is asinine. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, do you saw what the Muslims did in England?
I agree.
You saw what the Muslims did?
That's what we should do.
That's it. That's all. We're sitting here. We agree on 80 to 90% of things about Christianity. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, whoever thinks this way, we agree on 80 to 90% of things. So we're going to let the 10% whatever our disagreement. So we're divided. We can't even do anything. And the wannabe controller is sitting here laughing at us. This is hilarious to them. This is so funny to them to think that we're going to be able to resist. We can't even get unified about whether a boy can be called a girl or not in school. We can't even stand up and agree to that.
I know.
This is asinine.
It is
asinine. I am so sick of these stupid attitudes by the Christians. I'm sick of them. I don't care if I offend people. I don't care. When push comes to shove and you want to see what happens to this country and why we're in the situation we're in, go look in the mirror.
That's right. You
think I won't do nothing until they kick down my door, then I'll bury my Bible in the backyard in a Ziploc bag. That's why America will be destroyed or won't. When those people decide that they need to take a stand like their forefathers, then America will be safe. Okay? Period. There. It's my show. I get the last word. Except Stryker. Go ahead. Stryker, you get the last word today. Then Ray McGovern.
I'm going to piggyback on what you're saying, man. It's the Christians, but we've been watered down to be to sacrifice goodness on the altar of righteousness. We've been trained to be good and not to be righteous. If we had that righteous indignation that you see in the scriptures, that the Maccabees had when Antiochus came, you know, but these things aren't taught in the pulpit. We're taught to just be good and don't drink a beer, you know. We've taken the spine out of the strongest movement ever known to mankind, you know, so... I'm with you. I support you. You're right on this one.
Well, thank you, Stryker. I'm glad that I like different opinions. I'm glad Joni came on. And we agree. Again, Joni, we agree mostly. Okay?
Yeah,
we agree mostly.
Let's work on the stuff we agree on.
Yeah. So, Stryker, thank you so much. And thank you for the call. God bless you. I'm glad you didn't run off the road.
Yeah. what kind of wood you logging?
Pine, loblolly pine.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Well, God bless you, buddy, and
thank
you for the call. Our next guest, I got to calm down.
He walked into a firestorm.
Our next guest, I'm very excited to have him. It's really an honor. I've admired him from a distance for a while. He's one of the most important whistleblowers when it came to the Iraq War. His stance, he's been all over analyzing the CIA, the government, the what have you, even Julian Assange. He is well known in the truth community. Ray McGovern, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thanks, Daniel.
Well, thank you for waiting through that. You jumped into a hornet's nest here on the last hour, and I just had to finish that call. How are you doing with everything with the election? I mean, what's the most important thing on your mind that you've seen here in the past 2-3 weeks, month, whatever?
Well, actually, Daniel, I come out of the same Judeo-Christian tradition that your caller and apparently you come out of. And I guess my only comment on what went before is that justice, in my view, is what Yahweh of the Old Testament and Jesus of the New cared about more and more, more than anything else, let's put it that way. Your friend was quoting the Bible. Well, here's woe to those who deprive the poor of justice, Isaiah. Deuteronomy,
wow.
You shall not deprive aliens and orphans of justice. So what justice requires is spelled out in detail. Never take a widow's cloak and pledge or a poor man's cloak if it needs to be worn, even if it's owed to you. When you reap the harvest in your field, forget a swath and go back and don't go back and pick it up. It should be left to the alien, the woman, the widow, the orphan. Now, why do I say all that? I say all that because, in my view, that's how you judge a government. That's how you judge a state, whether they care first and foremost to the disadvantaged. And that doesn't quite square with our, you know, our concept of justice with that blindfolded lady, you know, with the two scales, so she could be completely unbiased. Well, if we're talking about the Bible, in my view, and I've learned a lot of this over recent years, the Bible is completely prejudiced in favor of the poor. And if you read the Bible carefully, Old Testament, New Testament, even the Quran, your first duty is to do justice. And that's how I weigh the incoming administration. Will it find the funds to do well by these disadvantaged people? Will it be able to cut down the unnecessary expenditures in defense, which deprive us of 60% of every dollar we put into our taxes?
Wow.
Will Biden be able to rein in this military-industrial complex, find the money to right the wrongs that have existed for at least 400 years in our country?
I was so disturbed. I loved everything you just said. I want to go back kind of to the beginning. I was sent a story about Jeffries, the pastor out of Dallas. I think it's Dallas, First Baptist out of Dallas. And he talked about how to handle this situation. And he brought up Romans 13, basically that we should follow, you know, the government. Romans 13, we need to do what the government says. I am just aghast by this. It is so, this attitude in Christians and is so un-American. If the same attitude that exists now in most Christians existed in 1775, we would still be British subjects. That's what I mean. Anybody want to argue that? I mean, it to me, it's just asinine. Some of these things that the perspectives and the unwillingness to aggressively support their position and to exercise justice, like you said, exercise rightness, exercise life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. These things are the most important thing for your life. Your comment on any of that, Ray?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Daniel. When you look at what government says and does, well, it has to be held up to a microscope. And the attitude that we must obey what the government says, well, you're right. We'd be still under British rule, and my God, that would be worse than the situation we have now. And I don't have to call up my Irish ancestors to test for that. So we have to be discriminating. We have to grow up. And I think the key here is that we have to become more educated. We have to have the kind of media that tells the truth, and that has deprived us of the truth, the media, for many years now, more than 4 years. The media, as I describe it in my new formulation for the, you know, Eisenhower talked about the military-industrial complex. He wanted to say congressional, too. He wanted to say military-industrial congressional complex, because even then the representatives and senators were beholden to the defense establishment. Now, the way it works is they get the campaign donations, they get elected, okay, then they appropriate money for arms and arms sales. Then these big companies make the arms, sell the arms, make billions, and then put a little bit of a portion of that into the pockets of the legislators, who in turn appropriate more money to make more weapons. I mean, it's a great, great country. What? That's the way it works, okay? Now, I said media, right? Okay. I've got a new acronym, okay? And it's easy to remember. If your listeners have a pencil, they might even take it down. It's called the Mickey Mat, okay? Rhymes with Mickey Mouse. Here it is. The Military Industrial Congressional Intelligence Media Academia Think Tank Complex, okay? Now, why does McGovern say media, like in all caps? Because media is the cornerstone. media is a sine qua non. You can't have this complex work real well if you don't have the media enlisted. And the media, of course, is owned and operated by the same people that profiteer on arms making and arms sales. So that's what we have to be aware of, number one. And then see what we can do in terms of a new Congress, a new Senate and representatives, and a new president. You know, maybe, just maybe, if we speak out and say, no, I don't want 60 cents of every dollar I put into taxes to buy ABM systems, anti-ballistic missile systems that don't work. No, I don't want that. That fatten the people already of the one person. No, I want that. I don't want that. I want more money for the needs of this country, which include, of course, the biblical mandate to take care of the widow, the orphan, and the refugee.
We're talking to Ray McGovern, raymcgovern.com. Now, you know, doing a little research on it, you're familiar with Julian Assange's story. You know, you talked about media. I think this is a very important point. I'm very disappointed that Donald Trump did not pardon Julian Assange. Tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, what do you know about that whole saga?
Well, I should issue a full disclosure here. I'm a good friend of Julian Assange. I visited him several times at the embassy in London, the Ecuadorian embassy, in which he was holed up lest he be turned over to the tender mercies of British, quote, justice, end quote. So he's a friend of mine. He's also a much admired friend. What he did, in a word, was make it possible for people to reveal war crimes by whatever country, the U.S. or any other country, and have some reasonable prospect of escaping detention. Now, as soon as he put up this very, very imaginative scheme, which he called WikiLeaks, you could, with a press of a button, send a whole bunch of emails or other messages or whatever that's in the ether to Julian Assange. He would go through them, he would verify them, and then if they were verified, he would produce them, he would publish them, he would put them on the web. Now, in 2010, 2011, he revealed, you know, what clearly are U.S. war crimes in Iraq. There was one famous video. It's called Collateral Murder, which it shows two young GI Apache helicopter pilot and rifleman deliberately killing 12 unarmed Iraqi civilians, including two Reuters correspondents, and then later trying to kill, a father who came along to help one of the ones that was badly wounded. Now, that was called collateral murder. There was a young private in the U.S. Army based in Iraq, and he had access to that film. The film was not classified at the time, and he said, my God, this is what we're doing? And then he looked into the other things that were going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he said, you know, Julian Assange, well, first he went to the Washington Post and the New York Times. They didn't want to hear anything about it. He said, Julian Assange has this way of putting that stuff out. Maybe I'll escape detection. And he gave them to Julian Assange, who verified them and put them out. That made Julian Assange enemy number one for the U.S. government, the Army, and the security forces. So what happened? Well, they finally got him by trumped up, pardon the pun, trumped up sexual charges in Sweden. Now, the U.N. Rapporteur for Torture, who speaks fluent Swedish, went to Sweden, went through all those police documents, and found that it's a blatant lie that anyone accused Julian Assange, least of all those two women, of rape. No one did. That was falsified by the police there under the direction of friendly intelligence liaison forces, and I think I know who they are. So they smeared him that way, and to this day, 8 out of 10 Americans will say, oh, Julian Assange, that rapist. Well, long story short here, Niels Melzer, the UN rapporteur for torture, wouldn't look into this case because I don't want to defend the rapist. And finally, he went and interviewed Assange. And then he went to Sweden. And then he went into Belmarsh Prison, where Julian Assange has been for over a year now. And he interviewed Assange with a team of doctors and found him to be psychologically tortured in the extreme, liable to do suicide, and reported that to the UN. Now, what happened more recently is that the U.S., still after Julian Assange, has indicted him and asked the British to extradite him to America, where he would face multiple decades of punishment for what? For publicizing, for being a publisher, for publishing war crimes. Now, that is not only an awful thing for Julian himself, but my God, the implications of that for the free press. Even Obama and Eric Holder, his attorney general, shied away from indicting and prosecuting a publisher because of what they call the New York Times problem. Namely, the New York Times published the same stuff. So if you're going to indict Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, kind of hard to do that to the New York Times, particularly since there's a First Amendment that still exists, last time I checked. So the New York Times, Obama-Biden administration resisted the impulse to do that. Trump came along with his retinue of people who wanted to get even with Julian Assange. And the rest is history. Now, he languishes in that maximum security prison. Why? Because he jumped bail. He has already paid his debt to society for the jumping of bail, but they're keeping him there because they want him, well, in my view, this is my speculation, they're very happy if he dies of COVID-19, that Belmarsh prison being thoroughly infected by inmates with COVID-19. So right now, the way where it stands is that the judge in the case has denied the extradition, but has said that he needs to stay in Belmarsh until the U.S. appeals, and God knows how long that will take.
There's the music. We're talking to Ray McGovern, raymcgovern.com. We're talking about Julian Assange on the other side. We'll ask him how he met Julian, why wasn't he pardoned, you know, the whole thing, and then what we're staring at. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat your Humana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Everyone should be pro-life. Joni, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, right? Great call. And Stryker, I'm glad you didn't run off the road. That was good. You know, we're still talking about this issue. If Christians today, if Christians in 1770 had the same attitude that Christians have today, where would we be? Who do you think it's going to be that's going to line up and tell you to hand in your guns, ladies and gentlemen? Who do you think it's going to be to tell you to, oh, just do what the government says, let's not have so much hate, let's edit our Bible, because China's editing the Bible now and changing different chapters and things. Who do you think it's going to be that's going to do that? It's going to be these pastors and the Christian community that's going to relent and it's going to go along with this. If we do not get the spirit of 1776, the spirit of our founding fathers, you talk about the Bible, you love the Bible, go look at the Old Testament. Go look at Jesus. Sell your coat and buy a sword. Time to buy a sword. It's figuratively. In the Old Testament, the things that people did, this time to believe in something. There are things that are worth more than your life. And if you do not treat them as such, then they go away. It is time to treat the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence as worth more than your life. When we do, this nightmare will be over, and peace and truth and justice and love and all those virtues that you claim to value above all else from the Bible and salvation and all that will all flourish. But if the Declaration of Independence does not stand, if the Bill of Rights does not stand, then you are talking about spiraling into a nightmare. And we're talking to Ray McGovern, raymcgovern.com. Who, they're friends with Julian. I didn't realize how good of friends he was with Julian Assange. It's kind of an overview. He's been a fantastic whistleblower and, done a lot of work with veterans, especially on the Iraq War, what have you. We're very honored to have him on, talking about Julian Assange before the break. We're going to continue. Ray, how did you meet Julian Assange? How did you get to be such good friends with him?
Well, as soon as he published the documents on Iraq and Afghanistan, which showed not only our soldiers brutalizing the inhabitants there, what we call the indigenous in the army, but being brutalized themselves. I mean, when you listen to the conversations of those Apache helicopter pilots, you know, they've been brutalized too. And I wonder, as they look at those pictures of shooting civilians during the surge in Iraq, how they feel, how they come to terms with what they were ordered to do and the orders that they blindly followed. So, long story short, as soon as we saw that come out, and as soon as we saw that it was literal truth, we decided to award Julian Assange something we call the Sam Adams Award for Integrity. It has to do with whistleblowers. It has to do with publishers or people who do the right thing despite the risks that they run. And we awarded that to him. And three years later, when we were in London for a similar award to one of his successors, he invited us to the embassy, and we had a really, really nice meal with him. There were about 12 of us. I'll tell you a little vignette. I had not met him in person, so I was standing near the door when he came out into this little place where we were having some wine, and I recognized Julian, Ray McGovern. And he looked at me. He says, "Well, I know. So I beamed. I said, "Oh, so you read my stuff?" "No, I don't read your stuff. I see you on YouTube, and I listen to you on radio." There's a teaching lesson there. That's a teaching point, you know. I can slave over these articles and make sure they're as good as I can make them. But if you don't get on YouTube, you get on radio, not too many people are going to pour through your wonderfully constructed article. So, yeah, I see you on YouTube. From then on, I tried very much to get on YouTube, even if it was reciting pretty much my own articles.
Why wasn't he pardoned by Trump?
I think it's fear, Daniel. Everybody in Washington.
Fear of what?
Fear of it. Fear of what I call the national security state. Let me bring you back 4 years. January 3, 2017, the Senate Majority Leader, Schumer, asks Rachel Maddow if he can go on her show. So he goes on, and Rachel said, "Now, Chuck, you had something you want to tell me." And, "Yes, I want to tell you that the president-elect, Donald Trump, is being very, very foolish, Rachel." And Rachel said, "Oh, my, oh, what, can you tell us about that, Chuck?" "Yeah, well, he's crossed the intelligence community, and they have six ways to Sunday to get back at him. So I thought he was a pretty smart businessman, but he's done something really stupid." "Oh, Chuck. Now, if Rachel Maddow were real journalist, she would have said, Chuck, do you mean that the president-elect and soon to be president needs to be afraid of the intelligence community?" Well, she didn't have to say that because Schumer was right on the nose. He did, and he does. And that's what ruined him. He didn't know how to operate in Washington, and so they got him. Now, these are the same people going to be around now. They'll be around forever, the more so, since Trump was never able to rein them in. And now I can tell you, as an intelligence officer and as part of a group of really experienced ones, that one of the things that Trump said was quite correct, and that was that he was – two of the things, I should say. He was spied upon. That's demonstrable. And this Russiagate thing was contrived by Hillary Clinton and her folks – and given to the media for 4 years' worth of agitation and making sure that Trump couldn't do any of the things he wanted to do, including especially make a more decent relationship with Russia. That was verboten because you need a powerful enemy if you're going to build all these arms and sell them. What am I saying here? Well, I hold no brief Donald Trump. I have to tell you that. But, you know, even a broken clock is right two times a day. And he was right those two times on being spied upon and by being emasculated by this Russia campaign.
All right, let me pause you right there. Let me pause you right there, Ray, because what you're saying, this is very important, and this will probably haunt me to the day I die. I'll probably never get over this, and you're opening up this question. In the last days of his, before the inauguration or the installation of the Biden gang, let's just say that.
Right.
It was debated, and there was talk, and we were hearing chatter that the Insurrection Act was on the table, that, you know, he could have possibly declared the Insurrection Act, could have arrested people, could have created a mandate to do an analysis of the questions about the election, and then we'll see where it went from there. The military could have done that, what have you. We're here. I don't know how accurate it is. Your perspective is probably much better than mine, just kind of what I'm hearing and what, you know, kind of my contacts are saying. It may have looked like when it all came down to it, when all was said and done, Donald Trump chickened out and was not willing to stand up to this behemoth that you're talking about and willing to really do what it took to enforce the will of the people and to have election integrity here, what have you. What part of that is true? What part of it, from your perspective, makes any sense? What part of it is false? Kind of straighten this whole narrative out for us.
Sure. Well, let me put it this way. When he became president, or even before he was president, namely on the 6th of January, 2017, I call them the Gang of Four, the CIA, NSA, FBI directors, and the head of national intelligence visited Trump. Okay, so this is 2 weeks before he becomes president. They said, now, Mr. Trump, we've done this really, really good analysis, and it shows that you would never be president if it weren't for Vladimir Putin helping you. Okay, that's number one. And that's being released to the press today. And then James Comey, head of the FBI, says, now, gentlemen, I have something very sensitive to tell the president. Could you please leave us alone? And they do. And he says, now, Mr. President-elect, this is very awkward, but there's this dossier that we have on you that shows you cavorting with prostitutes in Moscow, and I you know, it's not corroborated, Mr. President, but it's out there and it's about to be published. And I don't know how to say this, but just so you know. Now, here's Trump, a real estate guy from New York City, right? He doesn't know how Washington works. If it were I would have said, Mr. Comey, thank you very much. This is J. Edgar Hoover on steroids. I know what you're up to. Go back, clean out your desk. In 2 weeks, you're out of here. Instead of that, this real estate developer says, well, you know, I can win him over to my side. And he cajoles him and he tries to get him as a supporter. All the time, Comey is undermining him, as he did before the election. And it takes him several months to finally realize what's going on. And he cans Comey. What happens then? Comey's best friend forever, Robert Mueller, picks up where Comey left off. I mean, the whole thing is great. Anyhow, the bottom line here is that all President Trump had to do was go to the National Security Agency and say, give me all those transcripts of how these guys plotted, first to prevent me from becoming president, and secondly, to emasculate me from doing anything, particularly vis-a-vis Russia. Give me them all. I'm going to publish them. He never did. You know, he was empowered by Congress to release the remaining documents on the JFK assassination. Not only empowered, he was required. And 2 years ago, he got up in the morning and said, I'm going to release all those documents the CIA has in its vault. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you get up again. He said, well, the CIA and the FBI say I can't really do that, so we're going to revisit this in 6 months.
Did they have something on him? Did they have something on him?
They have something on everyone, Daniel. I mean, NSA collects all. I found this hard to believe, but I talked to the people who conceived and implemented these collection devices. They collect all emails and all telephone calls. They don't listen to them. They don't read them, but they store them. Okay. So if they want to get something on you, Daniel, they just go into the file and they do it with a push of the button. They find everything that you've said or done in the ether. Real easy. So, they have the goods on him. But even more important, this business about him changing his mind with respect to releasing the JFK assassination documents, that shows that he naively thought that he could do this. He was required by Congress to do it. Now, there was a loophole that said the president could deny parts of them, and that's what he used after. He says it openly after the FBI and the CIA complain, and we'll revisit it in 6 months. What happens? McGovern makes a little note in his diary. Take a look in 6 months. Zero. Nada. Nietzsche war. Nobody remembers. Nobody else put it in their calendar.
Was there not anybody around him that could give him advice like you're saying? I mean, is he that on an island?
Yeah, unfortunately, we tried to get to him. Matter of fact, we did get to him at one point, and he instructed Pompeo, who was his CIA director at the time, to see one of us. That was Bill Binney, an NSA technologist who is widely known to be the very best. But it made no impression. Pompeo was not really interested in defending Trump. Pompeo was interested first and foremost in Pompeo. And so nothing happened. No, the answer, that's a good question, Daniel. The answer is no. He didn't have anybody loyal to him in terms of being conversant in how Washington works. And in that way, he thought he could come in there with real smart people. And a lot of them were very smart, but they weren't really experienced in the ways of Washington. And that did him in. Now, again, I hold no brief for Donald Trump. If you remember what I said about the widows, the orphans, and the refugees, you'll know why. But at least on this, and on this point, it's a neuralgic one, because I dare say, unless the Democrats come clean and admit, and they can admit now because they don't need any ostensible reason to explain why Hillary lost. I mean, they blamed it on the Russians. That was risible. That was laughable. But they don't have to do that anymore. And they don't have to blame the Russians for what happened this November because Biden won. And so there's some hope, and this is a main point for me, there's some hope that since they don't have to blacken Putin at every turn, that they can work out the kind of decent relationship that Trump wanted to have with Russia without the kind of sniping in the mainstream media that has kind of eviscerated any attempt that Trump had. So there's a silver lining here. Biden seems a little more free to do this, and we'll have to see whether he does it.
Flynn, what was Flynn's role in the last month or so? What was Flynn's role?
Well, I know Flynn. He and I were in Moscow together, by the way, at that big dinner that he was photographed sitting next to Vladimir Putin. I was at that dinner. I know Flynn to be a pretty good intelligence G2, an Army intelligence officer. I think, if you ask my opinion, toward the end, he and that Air Force general, what's his name, McInerney, went off half-cocked, went off in such a way that some of my friends, heavy-duty colonels and generals were saying that he should be court-martialed, which he still could be, calling for the equivalent of an insurrection. So, sorry
Ray. Do you not think that what we saw, in the DNI's report, Ratcliffe's report, said that China influenced, the data was going to China. They had proof tit for tat, Russiagate, whatever. They had proof China was involved. Did that not trigger the executive order? Does that not trigger some sort of insurrection, or at least a look into it and justify that kind of action?
That's a good question, Daniel, and I hate to tell you the answer. I don't believe anything. I don't believe anything without documentary proof.
Do you think Biden really got 81 million votes?
God, I don't know.
Okay. Right. Fair enough.
I have no expertise in that. What I do know is that,
I got some expertise on, at least on the media side, the social side, whatever. There is no way on God's green earth he got 81 million real flesh and blood votes. No way. Promise you. No way. There are two questions that were asked, never seen in court. Here's the two questions. One, the Pennsylvania Secretary of State's office was reporting they mailed out 1.8 million mail-in ballots and got back 2.5 million. So 700,000 out of thin air. That's if 100% were turned back. Okay? That was reported. Two, the battleground states, the six or seven battleground states, had over 100% of registered voters return a vote. So there are 1,000, to say there are 100 registered voters in the states. Well, 105 of them voted. That's 105%. Those two things were easy to prove or not prove. It was put out there. Reliable people were saying it. Those two questions hang over this thing, hang over this country for all of eternity until this is solved. And this isn't even about Trump, Biden, whatever. This is about the will of the American people, and this is about our right to choose our destiny and government's just position, the consent of the governed, and the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Nobody has answered those two questions, and for the Congress to ignore them and to not say, well, maybe we need to take a day or two, maybe we need to just answer those two questions. Are those two things true or not? It is insane. And so, though.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, no, Daniel, I think you're putting your finger right on the main problem here. My problem is that there are all kinds of very contradictory indications here. That's why I said I don't know. How do you explain that the Attorney General of the United States, a very, very close Trump devotee, quit right after he said, you know, there's no, my Justice Department.
What makes you think Barr is a devotee? What makes you think William Barr is a devotee of Donald Trump? William Barr helped cover up all the MENA Arkansas with Bill Clinton and all that, was all involved in the drug running. And there, he was neck deep in all that. What makes you think he's a devotee of Donald Trump?
Let me finish that sentence, Daniel.
Okay, go ahead.
What Bill Barr said in mid-December, was that his agents had looked into all the things at Justice Department, and they could find not enough evidence to indicate that the results of the election, as he put it, were erroneous or were bad. So, I don't know about Bill Barr 20 years ago, but I do know that he was right with Trump right until that point. And at that point, he also gave up one very important other thing, and that was the Durham investigation, which had these guys nailed, this deep state or this national security state that I talked about before. Durham had all the evidence on them and was about to release it. And Barr said, no, this is too dangerous. I want to have a safe retirement. I want to go out and kind of be at peace. I don't want the national security state coming at me and the media as well. And so he emasculated Durham. Anybody heard about Durham? No. So what you have here is somebody that really was important to Trump. I gave up the idea of defending him, and I could only conclude that he decided that it was a fool's errand.
Well, you know, I can probably see that in Washington. The only hope that Trump had, I'm being told that there were some people loyal in the military. He should have been out there putting his case before the American people. The American people, there was enough vitriol and enough sentiment in the American people. They were behind Trump to the extent that he needed. That's my opinion. And there were people in the military, and he didn't need anything more. That's all he needed. There were people in the state houses of Arizona, in Pennsylvania, in Michigan that were working hard. There were people being threatened left and right. All this should have come out. He should have been on the Resolute desk saying that. I think I'm of the opinion, as I look at all this, he got overwhelmed, like you said. It's a fool's errand, so to speak. It's a game that's not easily played. Andrew Jackson would have pulled the trigger. That's what I will say about it. Andrew Jackson would have pulled the frickin' trigger. And if we go to civil war, we would have been at frickin' civil war then. That's what I'm thinking.
Daniel, what you're saying, I said before that you put your finger on the real issue, and that is that whatever the election was, rigged or unrigged, the perception is widely held that it was rigged, that 75 million people voted for Trump. And what I hope, and I hope dearly, that the new administration will take that into account. These are not deplorables. These are not cult members or things like that that Hillary Clinton has called them. These are real people who have real grievances, many of them widows, orphans, and refugees. And so since this perception is widespread, true or not, the new administration has to address it right off the bat, rather than divide us more at a time when we really need some semblance of unity.
Well, don't hold your breath. That's what I would say on that. that would be my statement.
We'll
I don't know your opinion.
I don't have an opinion. We just have to wait to see what Biden does.
We're coming to the end of the interview. This has been really fun to have you on. This has been exciting going back and forth. I hope you've enjoyed this.
For me, too.
We got about a minute or so left. Last comment is yours on anything you want to address. Where do we go from here? Brennan is saying that now patriots need to be rooted out, in their insurrectionists, the whatever. Anywhere you want to go, the floor is yours. You got about a minute.
Well, Brennan is a danger. He's got a platform on this MSNBC, I think, or...
Yeah, and turn the music down, Todd. Turn the music down, Todd. 30 seconds, Ray. 30 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, good. Well, there are people who want to be vindictive. That's exactly what we don't need. What we do need is truth. And the best thing, in my view, would be for the Democrats to come out and say, all right, Russiagate was a sham. We made it up. Hillary Clinton made it up. It's demonstrably true. Even the Russians knew it at the time. And we come off that now, and we're gonna try to ameliorate the situation and reach out to people who have been marginalized, who have been shunned, who have been called deplorables.
Well, there you go. We'll leave it on that note. Ladies and gentlemen, happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. Thanks for the calls. Joni, really good to hear from you over there in KXCL in Kansas City. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. See you tomorrow.
Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.